Okay, we've been talking about righteousness and justice, all right? This is week three. Now, righteousness and justice, okay? The first week, Dean talked about what God did with respect to righteousness and justice. And what he did had to do with the cross. And then last week, Dean talked about what God will do with respect to righteousness and justice in the future, in the kingdom. I thought it was a great message. I loved it. Okay. Today we're going to talk about what is God doing today with respect to righteousness and justice. Now, one thing that's important for us to understand with respect to righteousness and justice is it is something that we do. All right. We need to be righteous in ourselves. We need to be people that value justice, but the biblical picture of righteousness and justice is something that is done. God, the righteousness and justice is the foundation of God's throne, but he shows righteousness and justice. He sent Jesus, right? We were without hope. We were guilty. We were sinners, right? We deserved death, but he entered in. He sent Jesus. Jesus took the penalty for our sins, right? And he gave us the righteousness of Christ, right? It's something that he did. He's going to restore humanity, right? He will build a new Jerusalem. And in that kingdom, we will see or experience righteousness and justice. But he's active today. All right? And it's important to understand also that what Jesus is doing today, whatever it is he might be doing, he's doing through the church. Okay? He's using us for his purposes at this time. Now, before, he was working through Israel, right? Today, he's working through the church. We haven't taken its place. It's the way he is administering righteousness and justice, his work today. But what he's doing through the church. And I have to hurry, okay? And St. Alan, get over the introduction, okay? So, the work of the church basically falls into three categories. And one is evangelism, reaching the lost, okay? That's an act of righteousness and justice. It is. And the second is building the church or discipleship. You know, we sung today about a heart being changed from the inside out. Are we people that value, that our heart compels us to be involved in righteousness and justice? Building the church. And the third is protecting the vulnerable. All right? Actually going out into the community. And all three of those are part of the work of the church. And they're all important. And they're not mutually exclusive from each other. Should be a holistic. What God is doing is holistic. All right? We reach the lost. We build the church. We protect the vulnerable. And all because God is a God that values righteousness and justice, and he's doing it in the world. So today we're going to talk about protecting the vulnerable, that part of righteousness and justice. And it doesn't mean that the others aren't important. It doesn't mean that they don't have their place. They do. But today we're going to focus on the last one. And that's kind of been the focus of what we've been talking about for the last few. So the text is Isaiah 58. And I have my Bible, but I use a different version, so I'm going to read it off my paper here. Isaiah 58, 1 through 10. We don't have the PowerPoint. That's okay, whether we do or not. All right, what did Jesus do? What will he do, and what's he doing? Isaiah 58. There's three parts to this passage, 1 through 10. We're going to see a problem. We're going to see a solution to the problem, and we're going to see the outcome of implementing the solution. Okay? That's what we see in these passages. And they speak to doing righteousness and justice through protecting the vulnerable. All right. So the context is Israel's got a problem. They know they've got a problem. It's kind of like COVID in their time, right? Especially upon them. It wasn't COVID, but they had a problem. They were being attacked, right? And so they call a fast. Let's fast. Let's do something to get God to act. Basically, they were saying, let's manipulate God to act on our behalf, all right? They had a problem. And so they say, God comes down to the prophet. He says, cry aloud. Do not hold back. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Declare to my people their transgression, to the house of Jacob their sin. All right? God's saying, just talk to them about what's going on. Yet they seek me daily. They delight to know my ways, as if they were a nation that did righteousness and did not forsake the justice of their God. They ask me for righteous judgments. They delight to draw near to God. Right? They know, right? They talk about this stuff. Why have we fasted and you've not seen it? They reply. Why have we humbled ourselves and you take no knowledge of it? There's basically two reasons that this problem exists, and we're going to see it. The first is love of self above love of God. What God's going to say, we're going to see, is that, look, you're just doing this out of duty. You don't really love me. You're just fasting to try to get me to do something. You know, sometimes, you know, a lot of times I don't treat Ann the way I should, right? So I bring her some flowers, and she says, look, you know, you don't, what do you want? You think these flowers are going to change things here? You know, you need to get your heart right, bro. All right? And that's kind of what's happening. It's external. We're going to fast. Look at us, God, we're fasting. He says, you're just doing this out of love of self. It's because you want something. All right? This has nothing to do with your love for me. All right? And the second is love of self above love of others. You don't, what are the two, you know, what's the greatest commandment? The greatest commandment is to love the God, larger God with all your heart. The second is love your neighbor as yourself. He says you're not doing either one of these. You don't love me, you don't love your neighbor. He says you oppress on the day of your fast, you seek your own pleasure. This is about you, right? You oppress all your workers. So you're in here fasting, and outside, you're oppressing your workers. You fast only to quarrel and to fight and hit with a wicked fist. Fasting like yours this day will not make your voice heard on high. Is this such the fast that I choose, a person to humble himself? Is it to bow down his head like a reed and to spread sackcloth and ashes? Will you call this a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord, just because you put your head to the ground? Right? This is about you. It's not about your love for me. Right? So, the problem is there's a break in the relationship, break in the fellowship between God and Israel. And the reason is because they honor God with their lips and not with their heart. Right? It's duty. Their worship. And at the same time, there's oppression of their workers in society. There's not a love for their for their neighbor. So what's the solution, right? Now, the solution starts with loving your brother, right? So why is this? The first step to restoring is loving your brother. Now, 1 John chapter 5, verse 24, chapter 4, verse 20. This is an important verse, right? It says, how can you love God whom you have not seen if you do not love your brother whom you do see? Right? It's just impossible to do. If you don't love your brother who's right here in front of you, you can't say that you love me. Right? And this passage from Isaiah speaks exactly to that issue. The first step, you, my people, the first thing you need to do is to start loving your brother. And there's two ways in this passage that are mentioned how they can love their brother. The first is to eliminate oppression of the vulnerable. And the second is to generously take care of the vulnerable. He says, this is the fast, is this not the fast that I choose, to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the straps of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke. If you want to fast, this is how you do it, right? You loosen the bonds of wickedness, you undo the straps of the yoke, you let the oppressed go free, and you break every yoke. He says, is it not to share your bread with the hungry, to bring the homeless poor into your house, to clothe the naked, to cover him, when you see the naked, to cover him, and not to hide yourself from your own flesh? So oppression, to break the bonds of oppression. Now, it's a oppression here is a burden, and the picture that I like to use is I'm lost in the wilderness, okay? And I've got a 100-pound backpack that's strapped to my back. And it's strapped in such a way I can't take it off. And I walk up, and home's over there. But between me and home is a river, all right, that I have to swim. But I cannot, it is impossible for me to swim it because I've got this 100-pound backpack that's chained to me. And I see it, and I want to go. But I can't because I've got this burden. And that's what it's like. It's a burden that is strapped to you. Now, oppression comes in many forms. It does for us. What is this burden? Back then, the widow, you lose your husband, right? The poor, you get into debt, you can't get out of it, right? Your crops fail. The orphan, your family goes away. Or the stranger, somebody that comes into your land, can't speak the language. They don't know the customs. They don't know what to do. These people struggle. They struggle to survive. They've got a backpack on them, right? Here it may be poverty, homelessness, being trafficked, abuse, some kind of illness, all right? A burden. You know, and there's many pathways into this burden. There's many pathways when we think about it, all right? The sin, these are the what does he call them? He calls them the bonds of wickedness. Their sin impacts all the world, is impacted by sin. And sin, I like to think of it in three ways. Sin impacts creation. The floods, the hurricanes and the floods, those didn't happen in the Garden of Eden. They will not happen in the kingdom, but they happen today because of sin in the world. All right, the world, all creation groans, waiting for the redemption of the sons of men, right? So Carolina's family has got a burden on their back right now, right? It is not their fault. And it may impact them for years and years and years. It might, right? The second would be society. Sin impacts society around us, all right? We may go to war with Iraq because we decide that's the right thing to do, okay? And so a good soldier goes to war over there and he fights and he comes home blinded. Right? That's a burden. Maybe he has PTSD. That's a burden. All right? Now, he could have not enlisted, right? But he did, doing his duty. And he goes over there, and because societies cannot get along, he's impacted or she's impacted. It's not his fault, right? And then sin impacts us as individuals also, right? And we do some things sometimes that are stupid and that are wrong or that are immoral, that are unrighteous, right? And we sometimes it's just a mistake, right? But we fall into debt, or we fall into homelessness maybe, or whatever it might be. There's lots of pathways into oppression. But it's not always the individual's fault. So it's, I think it's important that we remember that. Albania is so corrupt. It is so corrupt. Right? And so you go, you just have a land dispute, right? And then you go to court, and the rich pay off the judge, and you lose your home. It's just corrupt. And Ann and I saw it all the time. And then he says the other way is what we can do. We can eliminate, we'll talk about this in a little bit. This is a hard one. Eliminating oppression is hard for us. How we do that is hard for us. Because, number one, it's so political. In our, you know, to for something to happen, we've got to join together, right? And we can do some on our own. But as a group, as a society, how do we influence the society? And that involves politics. And that's difficult for us, right? It's not why I'm here to talk about politics, right? We should learn to be political but not partisan. We should. We should work in our community. That's what we know the best, is working in our community. We know this community. And somehow can we do this without being partisan? But it's right here, okay? My people, you need to work to eliminate oppression, the bonds of wickedness. And in the meantime, what do? You generously take care of the poor. He says, is it not to share your bread with the hungry and to bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover him and not to hide yourself from your own flesh. Jesus, think about this. The Good Samaritan. We all know the story of the Good Samaritan. You know, who's your neighbor? And he tells this story. The Samaritan. He's walking down the street. What did the Jews do? They hid themselves from their own flesh. Their own flesh was laying on the side of the road, right? And they walked around the other way. They hid themselves. I don't see him, right? If I don't see him, he's not my problem, right? But what did the Samaritan do? He walked up to him. Then what did he do? He covered him. He clothed his neck. It's these four things in reverse. He did not hide himself. And then he provides, he takes off his robe and puts it on him, I think. I don't remember, but he covered it, tended to his wounds. Then what did he do? He put him on his donkey, and he took him to a place where he could have shelter. He took him to an inn, right? Then what did he do? He left money for the innkeeper, most likely to feed him, right? And you take care of him inside here until I come back, and I'll do whatever it takes when I come back. All of these, I bet Jesus had this in his mind, not this, but this in his mind when he taught this, right? Who is my neighbor? How do I love my neighbor? And God tells his people, Israel, he says, look, feed the hungry. Provide housing, homes. Bring them into your home, right? Don't just send them over there. Bring them into your home. Cover him. And not hide yourself from your own flesh. You know, this passage is not just a one-off. It's not. It's over and over and over and over again in the Old Testament. It's also in the New Testament. Also, Zechariah chapter 7 talks about fasting. And again, it brings up the same thing. Execute true justice. Show mercy, compassion, everyone to his brother. Do not oppress the widow, the fatherless, the alien, or the poor. So what's the outcome? So the problem is this broken fellowship, right? Things are not, Israel knows it's broken. And the solution is start by loving your brother, right? So what's the outcome? And the prophet says, then shall your light break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer you. You shall cry out, and he will say, here am I. If you take away the yoke from your midst, the point of the finger, speaking wickedness, if you pour yourself out for the hungry and satisfy the desires of the afflicted, then your light will rise in the darkness, and your gloom will be as noonday. Look at verse 8. Jesus says, let your light so shine before men in such a way that they see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. All right. In verse 8, then your light will break forth, right? Your righteousness will go before you. And what happens? The glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. You know, for us as a church, for God's people, when we love our brother, right, our light, people see. You're the light of the world. Okay, let your light shine before men that they see your good works. When we feed the poor in this community, when we do what we can to help those that are homeless, when we invest ourselves in this type of work, the community sees, and God is glorified. That's exactly what Isaiah is saying. It's missional. All right? So the outcome of doing righteousness and justice in our community is missional. We do it. Our light shines forth. God causes our light to shine forth. And he is glorified. You know, so how do we find the power to do this? How do we go? How do we get involved in this? It's hard sometimes. And I think that it's important in the beginning that our heart is in a good place. And Joey, thank you so much. Most of these songs that we sang were about that. Today, it's like, here's my heart, Lord, seal it, take and seal it up for thy courts above. Here's my heart, Lord, take it and seal it for your courts above. We have to make sure our heart is in a right place. You know, I'm a terrible gardener, but I love to do it. And for some reason, some of my basil plants didn't produce roots like they should, right? I could tell because the fruit wasn't exactly good. So, you know, I pull it up and I see there's just not roots. Well, what's wrong? Well, what was wrong? There may have been a lot of things wrong, right? But primarily, the soil wasn't right, okay? So these things grow out of a soil that is taken care of. And our hearts need to be nourished with who God is. Our hearts need to be nourished with this idea of righteousness and justice. And if I understand it in here, then the fruit comes out. So how do we find the power? The first thing we need to do is we need to make sure our heart is in a good place. Now we may argue, we may talk, we may come up with solutions, but God says, Alan, is your heart right? That's the very first thing. Before you talk to anybody about this, make sure your heart is right. All right? And that starts with looking to the cross, understanding what God did for us. And this last song, I think we sang about it, right? My sin, I come before God, and I'm completely corrupt. I'm completely sinful. But his mercy covers my sin, and then it just floods it. It just, my sin may be a foot deep. His mercy's 10 feet deep. Right? I don't earn it. It's grace. and it's mercy. And when I realize that, it helps me understand that something about righteousness and justice. It helps me understand something. I was vulnerable. I was vulnerable. I did nothing. And God entered into my world, and he gave himself for me, all right, so that I might have the blessings of life. He took the backpack off of me, and he put it on me, on him. And I didn't even have to swim. You know, he swam me across the river. It's important for us to see that, to see the beauty. The cross was an ugly event. It was ugly. Jesus was, you talk about injustice, right? False witnesses, corruption. We're going to kill this man no matter what he's done. Even though he's blessing our community without end, he's blessing it. You know, he's messing with our power. We're going to kill him. So we bring him before for Pilate, false witness after false witness after false witness. Two times Pilate says, I find nothing wrong with this man. This man is not guilty. Two times. You go to court, the judge says, you're not guilty. No, you're not guilty. But guess what? Go to the gallows anyway. Think about that. Total, complete injustice he bore on our, it was an ugly event. But the beauty of it, 3 days later, right? He's vindicated. He's raised. He's given life, right? So we experience the beauty. You know, is anybody watching The Crown? Or is it just Ann and I? Nobody's watching The Crown? Just Ann and I? All right. You are? Have you gotten to episode 3 or 4? You know, Diana and Charles, right? And she loves him. And he just like, what's love? Right? He doesn't love her back. And she loves him, and he doesn't love her back. You know, it's not that we give love in order to receive love, right? We love because we've been loved, if that makes any sense. That's the beauty of it. God loved us. And so we don't serve him out of duty. We don't stay with him out of duty, right? Like Diana had to, right? We respond to his love. We respond to the beauty of what God has done for us. So we go from duty to beauty. Israel was just fasting to manipulate God. That's all they were doing, right? It was a way to manipulate him into showing love. But the gospel's completely opposite. God loves us freely. And we should understand that. As we look and we see people that are oppressed, that are suffering, that may be homeless, that may be poor, that's who we were before God. So we look at that and we understand the beauty of the cross, and we understand the beauty of pouring ourselves out for someone that doesn't deserve it, just to bless another person. You know, there's no solution to injustice without the cross. There is no solution to it. The power of sin that corrupts creation, that corrupts society, that corrupted me, is only broken at the cross. So we don't just do protecting the vulnerable. We do evangelism. People need Jesus, right? We don't just do protecting the vulnerable and evangelism. We do discipleship also. We build the church. So our heart is ready to be used by God. But there's no solution apart from the cross. In the cross, the power of sin is broken. So what can we, Creekside Bible Church, do about it? All right. We could talk about this a long time. And so I hope the elders are talking about it a lot. I really do. You should ask them. Sorry. Hey, what are y'all talking about in your meetings? You know, what do you got for us? How can you lead us here? I think we need to understand the holistic part of our mission. I really do. We need to understand that. It is evangelism. It is discipleship. It is taking care of the vulnerable. It's all three of them. That's something we need. It's not just one to the exclusion of the others. All right. And we need to work on our hearts. I'm not saying that. I think Creekside has a great heart. A heart that when we're walking down the street and we see somebody over here that has a need, that we're ready to use our resources to help that person, kind of like the Good Samaritan. And I want to say bravo to Creekside Bible Church. Bravo to you guys, okay? We see what's going on in Honduras, and so we're going to do what we can to help. You guys decided, your elders decided, we're gonna get some money, whatever we can, and we're going to send it down there to help them, right? We're not going to ignore it, right? In Kenya, Hilltop Creekside Bible Church, or vice versa, okay, we are supporting them in what we do. Gateway Baptist Church food drives, right? Tartan and some others here. Every Saturday, they feed, all right? And Creekside participates in what they do. I think you guys do a great job. I really do. And I would say bravo. But we have a heart that understands the gospel and a heart that helps the person that we run across. And right now, the people that God puts in front of Creekside, you help. But keep pushing on. And lastly, I would suggest that be part of the community. All right? That we need to know our community. We need to be, we live in Montgomery County. Some of you may live in Harris County. I don't know. But this is part of Montgomery County. We need to know what's going on in Montgomery County. We need to be people that are engaged in Montgomery County. We do. I think the tendency, my daughter and I were having this discussion last night about people feeding in urban areas, Houston food drives in urban areas, and how Montgomery County Food Bank is pretty well organized and uses people like Gateway Baptist Church and Interfaith and the Catholic Church in the Woodlands. They use all these people to help get food out into the community. And mostly in urban areas, we become pretty proficient at this. And the thought, what about rural areas? Right? Rural areas don't have the resources. And I said, you know, the thing about rural areas is they know each other. They care for each other. They know when their brother's hurting. And they tend to get together to help their brother. Somehow, the closer we live together, the less we know each other, which should not be that way. But I think there's some truth to that. So we need to know our community, right? And then when there's a homeless person we find, we know who to go to, right? If there's somebody who's sick that needs help, we know a doctor that might help them. Or we can help, right? Because we're involved in our community. I think it's important. So those would be my three suggestions. And you guys, I'm so proud of Creekside Bible Church. I really am. What happened when Harvey came? You housed people right here, right? Carton got in his canoe and went and rescued people, brought them out here. You guys came, you got the clothes, you went and washed them. Right? You fed people. So, blessings on you. Keep it up. So, righteousness and justice. What did God do? He died on the cross. He sent his son. Right? He helped us in our vulnerability. What will he do? He's going to give us a beautiful life in eternity without issues like homelessness and sickness, right? We look forward to that. In the meantime, what is Jesus doing? He's using his people, the church, to help protect the vulnerable, right? And as a result, he's glorified. So we join together with him, right? So let me pray for us, and then we'll go our way. Lord God, thanks that you entered into our vulnerability. And help us to see that, Lord, that before you, we have nothing to offer. Before you, we were against you. That even when we were sinners, Christ died for us. Help us to embrace that and to see it. And we are grateful and we are thankful and we give you thanks for that, Lord. And Lord, we look forward to the day that we will see Jesus face to face and everything will be made right. Help us not to lose heart. Help us to have patience, Lord. Help us to stay focused in our hope on you and what you will do. And Lord, give us the strength, give us a heart to help those around us. Father, help us see those that need help. And Father, thank you for what you've envisioned Creekside through Creekside to do to the people around them. And I would pray that you would continue to do that. And Lord, if you have anything new for us, that you would show us, Lord. That's what we pray. And we pray for our community, Lord, that our hope is that there's no one that suffers in our community. That's our hope, Father God. We know that's because of sin, that's probably not going to happen, but that's our hope. And so we pray for our community, Lord God. And thank you, thank you, thank you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to Sunday Morning at Creekside Church in Spring, Texas. We're glad you joined us. For more information, please check out our website at www.mycreeksidechurch.org.